Praise God. Hallelujah. How many were excited about this month's series? I know I am. We're talking about university, so it's the study of yourself. And I think that's one of the most important things as a human being. You must know yourself, at least to be true to yourself, you must know yourself. So today, we're going to be taking another dimension, another angle. We're going to go deeper into university. And today we're going to be talking about the temperaments. I sincerely believe that it's one of the things that can set you free. If you understand why you act the way you do, why you behave the way you do, why you are the way you are, it will answer a lot of questions, okay? You'll be able to deal with some of your weaknesses and be able to work on balancing out on your strengths and making sure that you maximize them to the fullest. So we're going to be talking about the temperaments today. I'm going to go straight into it because I don't have time and I want to touch as many things as I can. So please follow me closely. Interestingly, the temperaments are actually all over the Bible. Everywhere you look in the Bible, if you look very closely, if you're a student of temperaments, if you look very closely in the Word, you'll find it everywhere. And I remember that I was telling Pastor Kay yesterday that I saw a scripture that, for me, covers the four temperaments. And I'll share with you in a bit. But let's start from what are temperaments, okay? So even though there's no clear definition of what a temperament is, it can be explained or best described as your natural born trait. Okay, so it's that thing that is in you that makes one person extroverted and another person introverted. So it's that thing in you that makes you like parties and makes another person like to stay at home and watch movies. It's the thing in you that makes you like people, or the thing in you that makes you a recluse. You don't really want to be around people. So it's the thing that makes you, that determines how you act, okay? The truth is that we inherit them from our parents. The same way you inherit your DNA is the same way you inherit your temperaments. If you look very closely, you will find that there's a bit of you, you know, coming, at least a bit of your father and a bit of your mother in you, most times. Rarely do you just take one person. It happens, but most times it's usually a mix of, you know, temperaments. So you can probably take, if your father is melancholy, you take a bit of that. Your mother is maybe a sanguine, you take a bit of that. And you end up being a male san or a san male. We're going to go into all of that. But I just want to today, I want to try to touch on the four temperaments and then I would deal majorly in two of them. Okay, praise God. Praise God. Okay, so let's start from the four temperament types that we have. I try to use smileys so that it will be easy for you to identify them. Okay, so we have four basic temperament types. So the first one is the one I like to call the peaceful phlegmatic. So you can see from their color, mint green, they're very calm, very easygoing. And you can see their smile, it's not too much, it's just there, it's very mild. So they're very peaceful people. The next one is the perfect melancholy. The perfect melancholy. You can see their face, see the smile. It's not a smile actually, because nothing is perfect around them. Okay? and they are in blue. Then the popular sanguine, who I like to call the sunny sanguine. They're very happy people, can you see? Very, very happy. And then we have the powerful choleric. You can see from their face, they are not smiling. There's nothing funny about life. Okay, so I just want to show you the four types. What we're going to do now is that you're going to bring out your phones. And I'm assuming that you have data. Just assuming that you have data. So whip out your phones. We're going to do a quick test before I start to teach properly on what the temperaments are. I don't want to go into it because if I do, it will influence your answers. Especially for those who are normally sanguines. They like to be anything but sanguines. So I'm not going to do that. So whip out your phones. We're going to quickly do the test. But I just wanted you to know the name of the four tests. So put this into your browser. So bit.ly/ /DCC quiz. If you do that quickly, It will take you to a temperament test. And we're going to run it together. I just want you to do this. Then we'll run it together. I'll read it quickly, and then we'll run it together before I get into teaching the temperaments proper. I want you to know your temperament so you can identify with what I'm teaching. Okay? Very important. So are we ready? Are we good to go? Next question. You're walking in a park, and you see a child who's crying and can't find their parents. What do you do? Number one. Do you ask who their parents are, what their parents look like, or do you tell the kid to keep looking for them, or do you take them to the police station, help them look, or do you pretend you don't see them and keep walking? Listen, to get the accurate result, don't write what you think is the right answer. Write what you would do naturally before you met Jesus. If not, you will not get the real test results. Your temperaments are who you were before you met Jesus, before the Holy Spirit transformed it. So I need you to say exactly what you would do as far back as you can remember yourself before the Lord started influencing you. So would you ignore them and pretend you did not see them? Tell yourself the truth. Can we move on? Oh, can we move on? Okay. So you were... No? Number two, you run into someone who you don't like in public. What do? Do you give them a dirty look and keep walking? Do you make a comment you know will annoy them? Do you give them a smile and play nice? Or do you ignore them and pretend you don't see them? Please tell yourself the truth. Maybe if you came with your friends, spy and see if they're writing the right answer, what they will really do. Number three, we don't have time. Three. Okay, so you run into someone you don't like in public. What do? Give them a dirty look and keep walking. Make a comment you know will annoy them. Give a smile and play nice. Ignore them. Pretend you don't see them. Number four. You were given a merger project. Okay, so number one, do you make a plan to get it done in the most effective way possible? Tell yourself you'll get it done, but get bored halfway through, causing it not to ever fully get done. Or do you work and focus so hard on this one project that you forget about other smaller assignments? Or do you put it off till the last minute and then make it as good as you can in that short time? So, last minute people, you know yourselves. Okay, number five. If you had to get a tattoo, what kind would you get? If you had to get a tattoo... Okay, so a small simplistic design that is nice to look at, an infinity symbol, your favorite meaningful quote, or a flame of fire. So which one would you pick? Just imagine you had to, because when I saw this one too, I said, I won't get tattoo, so I don't, but just pick one. Number six, are you an introvert or an extrovert? Extrovert, actually, that thing's not extrovert. So are you introvert, ambivert, extrovert, or you don't know? Ambivert is in between, okay? You're a blend of the two. So introvert, ambivert, extrovert, or you don't know. Number seven, if you could have a superpower, what would you have? Power to fly? Read minds, right? Not everyone, though. Some people would want to be invisible. Some people would want to be able to move things with their mind. Telekinesis. And some people would like to fly. Number eight. Which of the following traits do you feel represents you? So are you outgoing, optimistic, spontaneous, and warm-hearted? Are you ambitious, passionate, confident, and practical? Are you kind, quiet, accepting, and rational? Are you cautious, organized, independent, and thoughtful? So pick one of these four. Number nine, what would you say is your biggest flaw? Being self-absorbed, being argumentative, laziness, or are you difficult to please? Tell yourself the truth. 10, if you could be an animal, what would you be? A panda or a koala? A bird, any kind of bird, even chicken, eagle, anything. A dog or a cat. a lion, cheetah, or leopard. Don't pick what you think is Bible. Oh. Don't say lion of the tribe of Judah. Pick what you really, really know that you would like. Some people would like to be dog or cat so that they'll be taken care of. To be honest, that's what I chose. Okay. What do you consider yourself? A leader, a follower, a loner, or something else? Still around. Okay, so which applies to you? I have lots of friends. I don't want or need friends as much as I want or need power. I have a few close friends. I have a great pet, and that's all I need. Are we done? I think that's all, yeah. Okay, so I'm sure that when you finish that and you click send, you should get your temperament results. So have you started seeing your results? Do you agree? If you don't agree, you didn't answer correctly. Okay, so let's get into it. Praise God. Let's get into it. Okay, so I told you the four temperaments. Okay, so I told you what the four temperaments are. Now I'm going to tell you how to discover what your temperament is. Please, one house. Because I'm going to be rushing, I need you to be quiet and I need you to follow closely, okay? So the temperaments are grouped into two types. So we have the introverts. So the introverts are the peaceful, phlegmatic, and the perfect melancholy. They're not outgoing at all. They are homebodies, they are late, they are not outgoing at all, so they are the introverts. So if you are an introvert, you are most likely, or your predominant trait would most likely be one of these two. Okay? So that's the first way to know. The second group are the extroverts. That's where you have the popular sanguine. Anytime I see this sanguine, it makes me happy. I don't know why. Does it make you happy? The popular sanguine and the powerful choleric. And so what I want to do today is major on those two. Okay? That's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to major on those two. So let's start. But before I do, each, like I said before, there's no temperament that is bad. Every temperament has its strength. Every temperament has its weakness. There's no temperament that is bad. The funny thing is that the sanguines are the most versatile of all the temperaments. So they have a wide range of emotions. So they can be anything they really want to be. They can appear to be anything they want to be. They can do anything they want to do, okay? They are very versatile. The cholerics are the most productive of all the temperament types. So they are the go-getters. Once they say they will do something, they are the ones that achieve it. Of all the temperament types, a choleric is the most productive. The phlegmatics are the most likable, the most lovable of all the temperament types because they are easy to get along with. They are very calm and laid back and they will allow you to have your way, okay? So they are in a group. If you have a group of children, usually it's easy to tell from, you know, young children. If you put a group of children together that don't know each other, you just put them together, the one that everyone really likes and gets along with is most likely the phlegmatic. The one that everyone wants in their group because the person will make it fun is most likely the sanguine. The one that everyone follows their leadership is most likely the choleric, okay? And the one that tries to make everything work perfectly is most likely the melancholy. So the melancholy, like I said, phlegmatic is most likable. The melancholy is the most gifted of all the temperament types. They're the ones who give us the music, the fashion, the art. They're the ones who write books. They are basically the most gifted of all the temperament types. So like I said, every temperament has its major strengths. So there's no temperament that is bad. Okay? Let's just get that out of the way. Okay, so I was saying that if you look all over the Bible, you will see the temperaments. Give me Proverbs 30, verse 11 to 14. I want to show you the scripture I saw yesterday and I showed Pastor K. Proverbs 30, verse 11 to 14. Okay. It says that there is a generation that cursed their father and does not bless their mother. These are the melancholies. They are very critical. They can criticize even their own parents. 12. It says, can you guys please not do this today? Okay, 12. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from its filthiness. These are the phlegmatics. They look very good on the outside, but on the inside, they have really terrible weaknesses. 13. There's a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. These are the sanguines. Very proud, very egotistical. And then 14. There's a generation whose teeth are swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among the men. Those are the cholerics. Cholerics are very, very harsh. Okay? They're the ones that can tell you anything. They don't really care about people's feelings or people's emotions. So you can see, if you look very closely, like I said, you will see the temperaments described very closely. You will see them all over the Bible. Okay, so let's focus on this. Let's start with the sanguine. Okay, the sanguine is who I like to call Mr. Sunny. So I call them the Sunny Sanguine. They're very curious. Typically, they're very curious people. They are fun-loving. So that means that anything they are doing, you will see that trace of fun in it. They can't do anything that is not interesting. Anything boring, a sanguine cannot survive it. So it must be fun. They're the kind of people that if you get in trouble, when you were in school, if you get in trouble and they are with you, you know the punishment will be sweet now. Because they will start making the thing fun. They will be singing. They will make you laugh. Okay? They're usually very, very people-oriented. They love people. The thing about the sanguine is that whatever they do, there must be some fun in it. So if they run a church, it will be fun. I said nothing. Okay? They're also very, very loud. A sanguine usually enters a room mouth first. So you are in fact a party, most times you are sanguine come, hey, waiting there. They are happy over nothing. Like they can, if something good is happening to you, they can even be happier than you. They are very loud. They are also the type that when they are on the phone, I don't know if you're in a box. Now I'm going to tell you how to discover what your temperament is. Please, one house. Because I'm going to be rushing, I need you to be quiet and I need you to follow closely, okay? So the temperaments are grouped into two types. So we have the introverts. So the introverts are the peaceful, phlegmatic, and the perfect melancholy. They're not outgoing at all. They are homebodies. They're late. They're not outgoing at all. So they are the introverts. So if you are an introvert, you are most likely, or your predominant trait would most likely be one of these two. Okay? So that's the first way to know. The second group are the extroverts. That's where you have the popular sanguine. Anytime I see this sanguine, it makes me happy. I don't know why. Does it make you happy? The popular sanguine and the powerful choleric. And so what I want to do today is major on those two. Okay? That's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to major on those two. So let's start. But before I do, each, like I said before, there's no temperament that is bad. Every temperament has its strength. Every temperament has its weakness. There's no temperament that is bad. The funny thing is that the sanguines are the most versatile of all the temperaments. So they have a wide range of emotions. So they can be anything they really want to be. They can appear to be anything they want to be. They can do anything they want to do, okay? They are very versatile. The cholerics are the most productive of all the temperament types. So they are the go-getters. Once they say they will do something, they are the ones that achieve it. Of all the temperament types, a choleric is the most productive. The phlegmatics are the most likable, the most lovable of all the temperament types because they are easy to get along with. They are very calm and laid back, and they will allow you have your way, okay? So they are in a group. If you have a group of children, usually it's easy to tell from, you know, young children. If you put a group of children together that don't know each other, you just put them together, the one that everyone really likes and gets along with is most likely the phlegmatic. The one that everyone wants in their group because the person will make it fun is most likely the sanguine. The one that everyone follows their leadership is most likely the choleric, okay? And the one that tries to make everything work perfectly is most likely the melancholy. So the melancholy, like I said, phlegmatic is most likable. The melancholy is the most gifted of all the temperament types. They're the ones who give us the music, the fashion, the art. They're the ones who write books. They are basically the most gifted of all the temperament types. So like I said, every temperament has its major strengths. So there's no temperament that is bad. Okay? Let's just get that out of the way. Okay, so I was saying that if you look all over the Bible, you will see the temperaments. Give me Proverbs 30, verse 11 to 14. I want to show you the scripture I saw yesterday and I showed Pastor K. Proverbs 30, verse 11 to 14. Okay. It says that there is a generation that cursed their father and does not bless their mother. These are the melancholies. They are very critical. They can criticize even their own parents. 12. It says, can you guys please not do this today? Okay, 12. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from its filthiness. These are the phlegmatics. They look very good on the outside, but on the inside, they have really terrible weaknesses. 13. There's a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. These are the sanguines. Very proud, very egotistical. And then 14. There's a generation whose teeth are swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among the men. Those are the cholerics. Cholerics are very, very harsh. Okay? They're the ones that can tell you anything. They don't really care about people's feelings or people's emotions. So you can see, if you look very closely, like I said, you will see the temperaments described very closely. You'll see them all over the Bible. Okay, so let's focus on this. Let's start with the sanguine. Okay, the sanguine is who I like to call Mr. Sunny. So I call them the Sunny Sanguine. They're very curious. Typically, they're very curious people. They are fun-loving. So that means that anything they are doing, you will see that trace of fun in it. They can't do anything that is not interesting. Anything boring, a sanguine cannot survive it. So it must be fun. They're the kind of people that if you get in trouble, when you were in school, if you get in trouble and they are with you, you know the punishment will be sweet now. Because they will start making the thing fun. They will be singing. They will make you laugh. Okay? They're usually very, very people-oriented. They love people. The thing about the sanguine is that whatever they do, there must be some fun in it. So if they run a church, it will be fun. I said nothing. Okay? They're also very, very loud. A sanguine usually enters a room mouth first. So in fact, a party, most times you are sanguine, come, hey, wait till they are. They are happy over nothing. Like, they can, if something good is happening to you, they can even be happier than you. They are very loud. They are also the type that when they are on the phone, I don't know if you're the boss, everybody is having that conversation. They don't know how to whisper. They are very loud. They are also very loud in their dressing. They like bright colors. They can't understand why you're wearing black. They want red, yellow, purple, you know. There was a certain pastor I know that used to wear a lot of colored trousers. I'm not saying anything. I didn't say anything. I don't know what people are laughing about. Okay? They're very colorful. They love attention. If they are, you know, they're the ones that when they're in the choir, they might not even be able to sing, but the drama they do, hey, you know, more than the person that can really sing, they might not even be the one doing solo. Their voice is louder than, because they like attention, they thrive on attention, okay? They also touch people a lot when they talk. I don't know if you have friends like that when they want to laugh. I don't know if you have a certain, if you have a pastor that when he's preaching and he's near you. Another thing about them is that they don't hold grudges. A sanguine will quarrel with you now and forget. Totally forget. I remember that there was a time, okay, by now I'm sure you figured out that Pasquet is a sanguine. So there was a time there was this guy that stayed with us for some years. And then when the guy was about to leave, he misbehaved. And Pastor K doesn't get angry. But when he does, it's really bad. So he got really angry.
And that day, he was so mad, he told the guy, he went full military on the guy, he poured water on the floor, the guy should roll from this end of the compound to the other end, they should do frog job. Frog, as in, it was a big deal. I tried to calm him down. In fact, in the end, finally, we shall let the guy go. The guy left the house. About 4 years after, he was outside here, and I came to meet him in the car. So he said to me, oh, do I know this guy? I said, yes, I know the guy. He said, that guy that left. I said, I know him. He said, that guy has not been in town. That guy just came back to town. I said, okay, what? That guy came to meet him. That, please, can he stay with him? That's why he just wanted me to let me know before he gives the guy an answer. I said, no, now this guy has stayed with us. He said, no. That can he not remember? We called meeting. Called staff. Called friends. Called family. As this guy, he said, it's not possible. This guy, he argued with it. As in, he could not remember. For you to be so angry that you even beat the guy before he left, and you can't remember. Pascal is the only person I know that he will quarrel with somebody now. The next day, the person is in our house, they are eating. And you see, the problem is I'm a complete opposite of him. So when he tells me that this person has offended him, I will not collect the fight. Then imagine my shock when I'll come the next day and I'm entering the house. He's telling me, ah, honey, bring food for this person. Why is he first of all in our house? And why are we giving him food? He genuinely does not remember. If you offend him and he talks to you now, tomorrow he has forgotten. So sanguines are like that. They can let things go very easily. They don't hold grudges. They also, when they have conversations, they exaggerate and they give out too much information. Oh. Anytime Pastor K is preaching, I'm praying in tongues. Because he will use us to do example. And I'm wondering, like, do people really need to know these things? So they're like that. They can give too much information. They're also risk takers. They're very adventurous. Oh, that was one of the shockers. If you're married to a sanguine, good luck. That's all I can say. I remember when we first went for, I think it was office vacation. First time we went for office vacation. And, you know, when you go on vacation, people that are normal and of other temperament types, you will go to the beach. You will go to the mall. You will go to normal, you know, normal things now. First thing my husband said was, that he heard that there's one place that they have the fastest roller coaster in the world that we should go. I said, okay. When we got there, we first saw one thing. It's called the G-Shock. People that went, they still remember it. It's called the G-Shock in Abu Dhabi. The thing will first take you up. Glory, were you there? Jesus. The thing will take you up, then it will bring you down. So when it takes you up, it is so high that you can see the whole of Abu Dhabi. That's how high it is. Then it will take you down, then it will take you up and leave you halfway, and then keep moving up and down. You'll be afraid because you don't know whether it's going up or it's going down. So we saw this thing. I said, let's pass. Maybe we came for something. My husband said, no. That me, I don't know how to enjoy something in this life. That you will start from the beginning. For them to put this one as the first thing you meet, it means it's the first thing you should enjoy. So we entered that one. I mean, I'm very calculated. I plan myself. I position myself between two people that I know that I felt that their mind is strong. Pastor K was on my left. Somebody else was on my right. I did not know that they were all hoping on me. So, as I sat down in the middle, as the thing took us up, I mean, I was like, oh my, because I'm not afraid of heights. I just don't like speed. I'm not afraid of heights. So I was like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. That you can see the whole of Abu Dhabi. My husband was not talking. He was not talking at all. I noticed he was quiet, but I didn't know what was going on. I thought he was enjoying the scenery. So me, I was just, next thing, I just heard, boom. My spirit was already down. My body was going to meet it. And as we were going down, when we thought we were down, the thing now stopped midway. And now, so when it was moving like that, the person by my right was shouting, Pastor M, Pastor M, Pastor M, Pastor M. I say, instead of you to be calling Jesus, you are calling Pastor M. So I looked to my husband, who put all of us in this adventurous mode. Next thing I heard was, as the thing was going down, so was his spirit. I thought that when we come down from that one, we'll be cured, Abby. So when we came down, say he should be repentant. He was not. He first planned with me and called everybody on that one that nobody should do as if the thing was hard, though. That we should all pretend as if it was nothing so that other people, because we went in batches, so that other people will suffer what we suffered. So after we left there, I thought that, so I was not telling him that, Shay, you have been cured, now let's be going home. He said, for what? Let's go forward. We now enter the fastest roller coaster in the world. I had another sanguine with us, was boasting. He said, wait till the speed. Wait till. Say, speed, where would they find where we go, blow, go? Nothing. Pascal was saying, it's true, it's true. Those people, they've not really encountered speed. That's why they are saying, I didn't say anything, though. We got there, the sanguine said he would sit in front. I say, let us not sit in front. He said, no. How will we be seeing everything? We have to see experience. I said, this is my cross. I must carry it. I sat beside him. The other sanguine and his wife sat in front of us. The next thing, as the thing, first thing, thing was moving small, small first. That's how they start. They were chee, chee, chee. They're not saying, this is what they are saying now. Is there speed? Then the thing now stopped. Then we now heard, key. As we heard Kim, the next thing I knew was that my spirit went to meet the Lord. He helped me hold it. In the midst of that, I was hearing the guy in front that was boasting. Jesus Christ, you are the God of speed. Every time I remember that story, I laugh so hard. Sanguines cannot be helped. They can make mouths, but when there's action, the one in front, the sanguine in front of me was shouting, you are the God of speed! You are the God of... The one beside me, all I was hearing was... Oh my God! Praise God! In fact, the funny thing is that no matter what they go through, they are still not cured. They are very adventurous. Pastor K still wants to do skydiving. Hopefully, with his children. Because me, I'm done. So they are usually they are risk takers, and they are very enthusiastic about everything. They are very, in fact, we tell them a plan, the way they will carry it, they rejoice. They rejoice more than other people. In fact, it's crazy. Okay, so let me give you a video of their strengths. Then I will ask you, apart from Pastor K, if you know any other sanguine that is a minister, just so that it will be easy for you to identify. Okay, so their strengths, they love people. Sanguines love people. They love people, they make friends easily, they like to tell stories, they thrive on activity. A sanguine cannot be bored. If they sit down, they will sleep. If they are not doing anything, it's I'm going to sleep. There's nothing else. They can fall asleep like this. They need activity to stay awake. Okay? And a sanguine cannot understand how you will have your bath, wake up in the morning and just stay at home. Once you have your bath, you must go out. Sanguines, am I right? You must go out. And you must find where to go. Okay? They know all the happening joints. They know all the fun things a sanguine knows. If you are looking for how to groove, just call a sanguine. Please, where's the place we can go? They have all the answers. Okay? Another thing about them that I love so much that is a strength is that they are not judgmental. That's one of the most beautiful things about Pastor K. No matter what you tell him, he will just be looking at you like, and in my mind, me, I'm already started with drawing small, small. I say, I thought we're all serving the Lord. And he'll be like, no, everybody has their weaknesses. I'll be like, I said, do you hear what the person said now? He said, hey, don't just show that you are sure. Hey. Ha. Okay, oh, I do not know. But that's how they are. They're very non-judgmental. They're very accepting of people because they love people. They don't like to see people hurt, okay? And now, their struggles. They're very egotistical. They like attention. They like themselves. They must buy the reigning thing. They must buy the most expensive thing, not necessarily because it's just expensive, but because they like themselves. They must show. There are those people that have the mentality of, if you don't give them, how would they take it? You know? give them, kill them. That's how they are in their lives. They must shine, they must show off. They can't be in a place and people don't notice them. They can't be happy if people don't notice them. They are very disorganized, very scattered people. Very, very. They get bored easily. They are very undisciplined. Hey, they are the ones that like food. A real sanguino can't say no thank you when they see food. Food that is sweet. Sanguine can say, and they must ask for second or third round. So they're very indisciplined with food, very indisciplined with money. Sanguines usually are the ones that can spend everything they have. There's no plan for tomorrow. Their motto is, let's live this life now while we can. Do you know whether Jesus will come tomorrow? If they buy something new, they will open everything and wear everything. There's no let's keep it for tomorrow. No, they don't understand that. Okay? They forget obligations. Not because they mean to, but they're very forgetful. So they can promise to do something and they mean it all. But they live from year to year, they'll forget. You know those children that when they send them, I don't know if you have children like that, you send me go and bring something in the room. And the child is saying it. Scissors, toilet paper, scissors, toilet paper. Child is singing. Halfway, as they're just going, something will just distract them. They won't, first of all, they won't even remember they were going on errand. Talk less of remembering what they were sent. I don't know if you know children like that. Pastor told me that when he was younger, that they would send him to go and buy bread at 23 Road. My husband would be going to 23 Road. He said he will get there. He would just be going towards 23 Road. He would just see a friend that said, maybe we'll just reach Fifth Avenue. Before you know it, my husband is at First Gate. And that's around 12 noon. They sent him in the morning to go and buy bread. So people that are waiting for bread, first of all, there's no bread and they don't know where he is. And he did not leave with slippers, so. Because he's let me just reach here. So they can be very, 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 very disorganized. They forget obligations. They jump from project to project, okay? And they exaggerate a lot. Oh, I had this sanguine friend. I still remember one day I was in my office. She just called me. She said, Pastor M, where are you? I said, I'm in the office. Say, you are in the office. Where? I said, here, Amu. My office was still here. I said, here, Amu. She said, you mean you are around this Festac? Did you hear that they've moved the whole of London? All the fashion in London is now in Festac. I said, well, I said, there's one woman that just shipped in clothes. And she's telling me, 500. Where am I? In my mind, I knew there's no possible that somebody will be selling clothes. I said, okay, no problem. Let me come. She said, in fact, she was there yesterday. Even to put your leg, where to put your cloth everywhere. Meanwhile, that time, since I drive my small to get green car, I just drove fast into Festac. Entered there, first of all. When I entered there, the whole place was clear. So I said to her, I said, how come everywhere? She said, that even she, that yesterday when she came, maybe they finished buying, that let's just enter. First thing we thought, 10,000. Second one, 15,000. I said, sanguines can't be helped. They can't be helped. Another thing is that they are very unstable. Not because they plan to be, but because of their temperament blend. So they have the tendency to have very high highs and very low lows. So what does that mean, basically? So the sanguine friend is more likely the person who, maybe your mom, maybe you lost someone very close to you. Let me not use your mom, I reject in Jesus' name. But you lost someone very close to you. And you're telling a sanguine, they can cry more than you. And as they are crying with you, there you are crying. Somebody just enter and say, guess what? I just got a promotion. They will turn around and be like, hey! And so they can seem insincere. But the truth is that they can be just as sad with you and as happy for the next person in the same breath. And it doesn't make them bad. It doesn't make them bad at all. Okay? One of the clearest examples of a sanguine you'll find in the Bible is Peter. Apostle Peter was a clear sanguine. Very unstable. In fact, he was so unstable, his name was Simon. So unstable. Simon was the one who told Jesus that even if everybody denies you, even if they all run and leave you, I will die with you. And in the next few hours, not the next day, the very next few hours, a small girl came and told him, were you not the one that was following Jesus? He denied. He said, me. I don't even know who Jesus is. Another person said, no, I saw you. He said, I swear, I don't know this Jesus. He denied Jesus flat. The truth is that at the time he said he would not deny Jesus, he meant it. He wasn't lying. He actually genuinely meant it. But when he saw something like fear, the real thing came. Like I said, you know, they can make mouths, but when there's time for action, you won't find them. When the real fear came, he backed down. Another thing about them is that they can be excessive. They don't have middle. I don't know. For lack of a better word, they don't have middle. That's the only way I can explain it. You see Apostle Peter when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. I don't have time. I would have read the scriptures to you. You see where Jesus was washing the apostles' feet. And Peter said, "No, you can't wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you will have no part in me." He said, "In that case, bath me." And I'm wondering, are you not listening? They say washing feet is enough, but they don't have middle. Their own is they like extremes. So it's either you are not doing it or you do it well. Which one is that you want to wash my feet? Kukuma, bath me. You know, so that's how they can be. Another thing is you see clearly that he was very adventurous. He was the only one that saw Jesus walking on water and jumped out of the boat. The other ones were still saying, "Is it Jesus? Is it not? Is it Jesus? Is it not?" Peter's reached where he's going to. Then he reached halfway and started drowning. So you see that they can be very unstable. So yesterday, I also wanted to find out if I could get scriptures that could explain to me how each temperament thinks. And then on my team, I have a very wide range of temperaments. So I asked the question for sanguines, what scripture best describes or defines how a sanguine thinks? And I asked the sanguine on my team, and guess the scripture she said? She said, "Arise and shine." That's exactly how she said it though. She said, "Arise and shine." Like, you know, you need to be shining. They have to notice you. And that's just how sanguines are. They don't believe. You need to get up. Be fun. You have to be shining. You know? They don't believe in, "Let's cover us. Let's be modest." No, they don't believe in that. They need attention. They enjoy attention. Praise God. Okay, so let's talk about the choleric. Another temperament that I really like, interestingly. They can be very difficult people to get along with, but they have their strength. Okay, so the choleric is Mr. Powerful, or he's a fiery choleric, like I like to call them. So their typical traits, they're very decisive. They know what they want and they go after it. It's very rare to find a choleric who is asking your opinion for something. If they're asking, they're asking to be polite. They already know what they want to do. Okay? Usually very decisive. They like to get things done. They want to lead. And you see, this is one of the easiest temperaments to recognize. When you put a group of children together, the one that, like I said before, the one that every child follows is the choleric. My first daughter is a choleric, Hadassah. When Hadassah was younger, much younger, as in tiny tot, I remember one day I was standing at the back, Pastor Koi was preaching, and I just saw a group of children, mostly boys, tall, maybe they were about 4, 5, 6 year olds, and they were all walking, running towards, I don't know what they were looking for near that AC over there. They were all running, and I was wondering, what's going on? And I just looked in front, and I saw this tiny 2-year-old who was barely, and she was telling them, "Let's go, let's go, let's go," and they were all following her. I said, see this tiny turtle. Will you come? So when I grabbed her, I scattered. It was a case of, you know, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Once I grabbed her, everybody just found their way. So they are usually very decisive. They are leaders. They are natural born leaders. Even when they enter a place and say they want to follow, they want to be quiet, they somehow always rise to the top. They are the best kind of people to put in marketing. So if you have a business that requires marketing, they like targets. They're very goal oriented. They want to meet targets. They like numbers. They don't want to just, let's just be all be happy. No, everything in life is a competition. If you can get it, why can't I get it? I'm better. That's their mindset. They're not playing with you. I suspect Satan is a choleric. Just saying. Okay? So they like to lead. They're very directional. They're results driven. They love challenges. They thrive on challenges. If there's no pressure, a choleric is not happy. They like, you see, when there's problem, the choleric is just starting. So you say there's a challenge, never back down for any fight. You can't slap a choleric and this choleric will not slap you back. It's not possible. You can't shout at the choleric and the choleric will just say, "I'm sorry, sir." Even if you are their boss, they warn you before they apologize. The choleric will give it to you before, it lasts very hot, okay? They're very confident people. They are very good at making quick decisions. When there's a challenge and everybody's confused, most likely the choleric is the one that will speak up. The choleric will tell you what to do. In fact, they are trained to solve problems. They are trained, their eyes are trained to see the solution when there's a problem. Okay? They also like to take risks. They are very self-reliant. Let me give you a few strengths. I'm running out of time. One of their major strengths is that they don't give up. Literally, the choleric's mantra is, we die there. They will rather die than to back down. They can't lose. They are the ones that come first in class. And if they come second and you beat them with one mark, they will cry for the whole of the holiday and plan how they will beat you by 5 marks next time. So they don't give up. They're very fearless people, very courageous. They are great problem solvers. Another very good thing about cholerics and why they make such great leaders is that they delegate very well. So a choleric might not do everything themselves. In fact, most times they don't. They'll put people to work. They always get people to do what they're supposed to do. Okay, they delegate very well. You never see them overwhelmed. They thrive on teams. They know how to, they understand team dynamics. So once there's a team, they know who to put to work where and how to get things running. And they are tireless. They do not get tired. They're very energetic. They are very productive. And they always set and achieve goals. Always. Always. Now, some of their struggles, or what people call weaknesses, is that they can be very domineering. So they can impose, it's either their way or no way. That's usually the problem with cholerics. Even though they are great leaders, or they can be great leaders, they also clash with people a lot because they believe their way is always the best, okay? They are very, very opinionated, very unsympathetic people. So they don't really understand, they have this. So your father died, so what's the big deal? Move on, life goes on. They have that attitude about things. Or somebody broke up with you, hey, so what? Thank God, move on. They don't understand why we're sitting down, we're crying. How has crying helped you? Has it changed anything? Has it solved anything? What's the problem? Let's fix it, let's move on. That's just their attitude. They don't understand that sometimes people can actually want to just shut down and cry, and it's okay. They can't understand it. They're actually too competitive. Sometimes, when there's no competition, they are still in competition mode. And sometimes it's okay in this life to be okay. We're not fighting with you. You can do your own, let me do my own. Your own must not be better than my own. Do you understand? Some people are like that. And if you are not successful, a choleric will not be your friend. If you don't look like you can be successful or you are not successful, a choleric doesn't make friends that they will not gain anything from. Their attitude to friendship is, what am I gaining from you? Am I benefiting anything? If I'm not, then you can't be my friend. Doesn't make any sense. Okay? They're very arrogant and very opinionated. They can also be very, very, very aggressive. Very aggressive. Now, the one that I think they battle with too much is the fact that they put projects before people. So once you give a choleric an assignment, they don't care whose toes they step on. They must get the assignment done. If they have to fire you, if they have to get you out of the way, if they have to change who they put on the team, they don't care. It's not an emotional thing, it is work. And for them, it's business. So it's nothing personal. Yes, that's the attitude. It's nothing personal. It's just business. Let's do the work and let's move on. Okay? So they're usually very, very aggressive, very, very domineering. One of the greatest examples of a choleric is Apostle Paul in the Bible. Apostle Paul was so goal-oriented, so focused on work, that even though he was in prison, he made sure he finished his assignment. He finished the race. He ran the race. I mean, what's that scripture? He finished everything he had to do. So even though he was in prison, he still made sure that he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. It didn't weigh him down. He was still writing to people that were outside. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. In other words, why are people crying? What's the big deal? Let's move on. That's just their attitude. So he was there. And even times when he could not do the work, he still put people to work. He would send for Timothy. He kept sending for John Mark. He was doing the work. He was not interested in how he was feeling. He wasn't. That didn't hold him down. The fact that he was in prison, that was not an issue. So he kept doing the work. He was more focused on the work. He was aggressive. He was kind of person that once he latched on to something. If you read, I think it was Acts 9, on his way to Damascus, before he got to Damascus, he was, you know, he was a Pharisee. He was one of the doctors of the law. So one of the things that was upsetting him was that there was something that was trying to change what we have always known. So there were a group of people who were now following this Jesus. And at the time, they were called the Way, people of the Way. And he took it upon himself. Nobody sent him home. Took it upon himself and went to Jerusalem to get letters to go to every province in so that he would, anywhere he goes to, he can arrest Christians. He wanted to single-handedly lock up. I mean, how can you have that agenda and follow it so well? Jesus knew that if they leave this guy, he will succeed though. So Jesus went to stand on the road. Guy, what can I do you? See, why are you persecuting me? Jesus knew that if he didn't take him and put him on his side, imagine having Paul on the other side. We won't have Christianity today. He would have closed down everything. Jesus knew that. That's how choleric can be. They can be so purpose-driven. When they latch onto something, there's nothing you can do. They must succeed at it. So you can see very clearly that if you look very closely, you see other characters in the Bible. You see that some of them have these different temperament traits. Okay. On a lighter note, I now asked one of the colleagues on my team, and I said, "What's your life mantra? What's your favorite scripture?" Sometimes it might even be your favorite scripture, and you won't even know that is because of your temperament that it's your favorite scripture. So I asked her, and guess what it was? I can do all things. We will remove the true Christ. Because with or without Christ, a choleric believes they can do all things. What the Holy Spirit does is that he now makes them do it through Christ. But that's just how they are. So the first one is arise and shine. The second one is I can do all things. And really, even yesterday when I was preaching, she was saying that you don't understand. Another thing is they don't understand rest. A colleague does not understand vacations. They don't understand why you sleep. They sleep very badly. Very. If a choleric gets 3 hours sleep, they're good. They're very okay with it. They're fine. So, let me ask this quickly before we pray. Who can tell me a minister that they know that is a sanguine? Pastor who? Minister Peter. Yes, Mr. Peter is a sanguine. Who else? Choir people. You should be able to tell me who a sanguine is. Who? Who? I can't hear you. You people don't know your leaders. Blessing is a serious. In fact, let me leak the secret. She was the one that said, arise and shine. Serious sanguine. Pastor K is a serious, and now he's getting older, he's toning down a bit, but when I first met him, he was a serious sanguine. Serious sanguine. Who can tell me choleric? Minister that is a choleric. Mr. Wale. Funny enough, it's the same example they gave me on the island. Anybody else? Any other minister? Minister Emeka too is a choleric. Who else? Is there anybody else? Who? Me. I don't have any choleric in me. None whatsoever. At all. The funny thing is, you will not believe me. I have no choleric. I am completely introverted. Completely. I am only choleric because of this job. I'm not choleric at all. I couldn't care less. I can live my life, come to the church, enter that car, not mind anything. If you will, like, be dying here, I'll just pass. I'm one of those people that see something wrong and just pass. But because of my job, it makes me look like, and that's what the Holy Spirit can do for you. He can take your weakness, because I'm very laid back. I'm unbelievably laid back. Maybe the only person that will know my real temperament is my younger sister. I can't be bothered at all. At all. The only thing I am is a perfectionist. But apart from that, I can't be bothered. at all. So I'm not choleric at all. So that's the thing. The Holy Spirit can come and totally transform your temperament. So like I said, there's no temperament that is bad. None. So what the only thing is that you need the Holy Spirit to come and walk through you. Okay? Praise God. Are you blessed this evening? Can we rise to our feet?